good to see you here at Grace Bible Church on this Mother's Day, and we do greet and welcome our mothers today, and we honor them as we are told in the Scriptures to do, and we hope that you have a very special day. In our call to worship today, we're in the book of Esther, and we're in chapter 2, where in verse 1 we read that after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done, and what was decreed against her. It's very interesting in the Hebrew language. It indicates that he came off of his stupor that he was in. He settled down and he remembered Vashti. You know, it's a interesting word that the Bible chooses there, the Holy Spirit of God, because he begins to think, what have I done? I remember what she did. He's processing all of this. Now, what am I going to do now? I cannot go back and change things. That would make me look bad. So what am I going to do now? Well, we know the story that's given to us of how he said, I want all of the eligible virgins to be brought before me, and I'll choose one. And we're told in verse 7, and he brought up Hadassah. Very few people know Esther's Hebrew name. Esther is not her Hebrew name. That is a Chaldean name that was given to her, because we know that Ahasuerus had no idea that she was from what ethnic group? The Jewish family. He had no idea. And her Hebrew name, Hadassah, is very interesting. It means white flower or myrtle. The myrtle trees in Israel are a beautiful tree. Most of them were wiped out at the turn of the 20th century. They had a blight that came through Israel that almost destroyed all of the myrtle trees. Myrtle trees have a very dark green leaf, and they have a beautiful white bud, and some have even compared the smell, the scent, to that of the gardenia. It has a very strong scent whenever it blooms. And so she's called the white flower. Hadassah today is the number one name for a child in Israel. And a very interesting truth here. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. You know, I've oftentimes considered this passage of Scripture, and in my own heart, I feel kind of sorry for Esther. She grew up without a mother and a father, and she was raised by her uncle. Some say cousin, but the Word of God seems to indicate uncle that is given. And he is set to raise her. Then they're taken into captivity. Not only is she raised without a mother and father, but now she's in a strange land, and her uncle Mordecai is constantly checking on her, constantly checking on her. You find that throughout the book. And she was raised without a father and mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her mother and father were dead, took for his own daughter. Twice in that verse of Scripture, father and mother are mentioned there, that she had neither. I think it's important for us today to reflect on the happiness that God gives to children when they have both a father and a mother, and what's happening in our culture today. It's the destruction. Did you catch it twice in there? Both her father and her mother had died. Twice it's mentioned there. That's God's gift to a child, a mother and a father. And yet today, there is that stripping away of that basis for a family unit. Now, we know that she was raised by a godly man. He made sure she was taken care of, and some have criticized him because he put her forward into this particular thing, but God was working. God was going to use Esther in a powerful way to save his people from being exterminated. And we're not going to argue with God's providence, are we? There's no need to do that. There's no need to be combative and to say, well, that was a bad thing that he did. Well, wait a minute. God takes whatever wrath or bad things that happen, he turns it around for his glory and for his grace. Are you thankful for your mother and your father? Young people, children, are you thankful for your mother and father? You know, sometimes it takes years of growing up to be thankful for your parents. I'm sure that Esther many, many times wished that she had her mom and her dad. especially as she was marching with all the captives to Babylon, along with her uncle. But you know what? God was going to use her in a mighty way, and she's still remembered to this day at the Feast of Purim as they remember what she did. She risked her own life. She moved from a beauty queen to being militant for the people of God. She grew up. Oh, how we need moms, young ladies now that are preparing to be mothers, that take up that responsibility of being a mom to children and to being the right kind of wife that she ought to be. I'll tell you something, it's a blessed thing to follow the Word of God. And I hope that all of us here today will stop and reflect upon your parents. And stop and thank God that He provided you with a mother and father. And if you have Christian parents, that's even doubly something special. But to be thankful for the gift that God gave, because today that gift is being taken away from children. And we're calling these new relationships husbands and wives when they're not the true thing. That's taking away from God's glory of a home. And we want our children to be thankful, and we want them to go out, and we want them to know that girls will marry the right kind of guy, and the man will be the right kind of husband and father to a girl that he marries. What a blessed thing. God's way is the only right way. And may we take that to heart today.
Hit your hymnbooks this morning, please, and we'll turn to number 192 to begin our singing. 192, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, 192. We'll stand together to sing. This morning for prayers, Brother Richard comes to lead us.
Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this wonderful day that You've given us. We thank You for this day that we can honor our mothers, and Lord, we lift them up to You and just pray that You'll be with each one. And Father, we ask Your blessings upon each one of the mothers, and Father, throughout the world, we pray that their children will be honoring them and giving them a wonderful day, making an enjoyable day for them. And Father, we just ask Your blessings upon all throughout the world. We thank You for them, Father. They do things that we don't realize, we don't pay much attention to, Father. As they bring our children up, they teach them the right things. They try to show them the way that they should go. And Father, we just pray that all of our children will give our mothers honor and glory. And Father, we pray that this will be a wonderful day for them. Father, we ask your blessings upon our services this morning. We pray that you'll be with our pastor as he brings the word that you have given him. We pray that each one here will receive a blessing from your word. And Father, we pray that we'll have a receptive heart and hearing ears today, Father. And Lord, we pray for those who can't be here today, Father. We think of those who are sick and can't be here for whatever reason, Father. We pray that you'll be with each one of them. We pray that you'll be with your people everywhere today. And we ask your blessings upon each one of them. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can study your word, that we still have those freedoms. And Father, we pray that we will, each one, take your word to heart and strive to live our lives according to thy will, Father. And Lord, we just pray that you'll be with our school here and the programs that are coming up, the activities that are coming up before graduation, Lord. We pray that you'll be with those and that they will go over well, that everything will be done to give you honor and glory. And Father, we pray for our graduates, and we lift them up to you, Lord. And if there be any that doesn't know you, Father, we pray that you'll work in their hearts and lives and draw them to thee. Those that do know you, Father, we pray that you'll guide them, that they will listen to you and look for your guidance in their lives as they go out in the world. And Lord, we just pray that you'll be with each one of them. Father, we think of those who will be going this summer to different countries, and we think of Kyle and Caitlin and Adam and Jerry at going to different countries down there and going on missionary trips. Father, we pray that you'll be with each one of them. We ask your blessings upon them. We pray that they will receive a blessing from those people down there, that the missionaries that are down there as they work with them. And Father, we pray that as they come back, they will have a new respect for and a desire in their hearts to serve you, Father, more. And if it be as a missionary, we pray that they will have that desire in their hearts. And Father, we pray that they will receive a blessing and they will be a blessing to them there. Father, we ask now that you be with us throughout this day and pray that you'll guide us through the day. Be with the services tonight. We ask your blessings upon them. And Father, again, we ask your blessings upon our mothers today. And we ask all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Be seated, please, and turn now to number 531. 531. Whole Zion Haste will sing verses 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4, number 531.
Thank you.
turn over to number 677. Number 677. We'll sing just one verse. Number 677. Let's sing on the first verse. There is a name of greatest worth, Jesus Christ the Lord. Number 677, verse 1.
God's people said, amen. Would you take your Bibles, please, and join me at 1 Kings chapter 17 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17, I want to begin reading at verse 8 and read through the end of the chapter as we consider on this Mother's Day this thought. When God asks hard things of a mother. When God asks hard things of a mother. Verse 8 of 1 Kings chapter 17. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, that is Elijah, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and he came to the gate of the city. Behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord. Now notice in our King James Bibles it's capitalized. All right? It's a reference to Jehovah God. The word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this Mother's Day. And we pray that your word might go forth in power to our hearts as we consider this poor mother who was a widow also, who had a young son trying to make ends meet during a period of time after 3.5 years of drought. Very little water, very little food, and for her, it was the end of life as far as she was concerned. And yet, Father, you sent a prophet to come and dwell with her and to help her during her time of need. Lord, I pray we might take to heart this message today that oftentimes you call mothers to do hard things. I pray that we might have the same faith that this poor widow had and that she might be a lesson to us all today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a sweet sequel written by John Bunyan to the book Pilgrim's Progress entitled Christiana. How many of you knew that there was a sequel entitled that? Christiana was a result of all the questions that came to John Bunyan about what happened to Pilgrim's wife and his children. And so he wrote a sequel, a book, basically Pilgrim's Progress Part 2, to tell the story of the mother. The picture is of course, Christian going through and then finally going on to heaven. He dies before his wife and children do. And so he tells the story of what happened. Remember from the first story, his wife refused to go and kept the children. They refused to leave the city of destruction. But after a period of time, Christiana trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, and she becomes a pilgrim as well. And her four sons all trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're named Matthew, Samuel, James, and Joseph. It's interesting in this story that's told after the fact that she fights valiantly as she and her four sons travel the same pathway that her husband traveled. But they meet some different characters along the way. They meet Mr. Greatheart, Mr. Honest, but they also go to Doubting Castle and they have to face Giant Despair. Here's a statement from the book that comes to her when she arrives at the Celestial City, having battled her way there with her four sons. And a messenger, a courier, comes to her with this note. It says, hail, good woman, I bring thee tidings that the Master calleth for thee. and expecteth that thou shouldest stand in his presence in clothes of immortality within these 10 days. So she knows within 10 days that she's going to stand in the presence of the Master. And what does she do? Well, with a full heart, she hopes in the Lord, we're told in the book, and she gathers her 4 sons together and tells them goodbye. She gives her meager goods to the poor. She calls for Mr. Valiant for Truth, another individual that she had met, and commends to him the care of her 4 sons. And then with great tenderness and strength, she summons Mr. Despondency and his daughter, Much Afraid, because she has a message for them. She wants to encourage them, and I want you to listen to what Christiana says to Mr. Despondency and his daughter, Much Afraid. You ought with thankfulness forever to remember your deliverance from the hands of giant despair. The effect of that mercy, and I'm abbreviating because of time, the effect of that mercy is this, that you are brought with safety hither to this place. Be ye watchful and cast away fear. Be sober and hope to the end. Christiana, as we find here in the Scripture, gives advice to this man and his daughter to not be afraid. What was her problem in the beginning? It was fear. She was afraid to go with her husband. She considered it in the book a hard thing that he asked her to do, to journey with him to find the celestial city. It was a hard thing for her. After his passing, he was in the celestial city. She becomes a Christian and she begins her journey with her 4 sons. And so she's able to help this man and this daughter, Much Afraid, to not fear and to, as she said, be sober and hope to the end. I couldn't help but think about this mother here and her son as I've reread Christiana. By the way, if you've not read Pilgrim's Progress and Christiana and the War written by John Bunyan, you are missing out. You are missing out. They now have it in modern English where it's a little bit easier to read. But they are tremendous books that put the Bible in a story format that helps us to understand the journey that the Christian goes on in life and the hardships that are faced in the Christian life. There are many people today in our churches all across America who are running from hardship. They're running just as fast as they can. But what they don't realize is they're going to run straight into their consequences. You can run from your hardships, but you will run into your consequences. Because you see, you can't run from trouble. It will already be ahead of you when you get there. 2 weeks ago, I read an article out of an online source from the UK about Mother's Day, and they followed one mother. They were very intrigued by this. She was going to a doctor to have her son declared ADD. She couldn't control him. She wanted to hear officially, get him on drugs so that he would be fine. By the way, this is an interesting fact that the newspaper brought out. All right, the United States and the UK have a 95% rating or finding of ADD and ADHD. 5% in the rest of the world. Now, what does that tell you? It's a shocking statistic. But the English newspaper brought it out and said, you only find it in America and in the UK, two of the advanced countries. But you don't find it. It's not diagnosed. This mother took her 8-year-old son to the doctor. The doctor met with him on several occasions and then said for the mother to come and see. I want you to come and meet with me. She came. She did not bring her son. And he sat her down across from his desk and he told her with the reporter that was with him, because they were following her. They wanted to find out what was going on in her life. They were going to do an article on her, which they did. And the doctor said, your son does not have ADD. Your son has an authority deficit problem. And one by one, he began to pick away at this mother's life. She said, "Do you discipline your son?" "Well, no, I don't believe in that. This boy needs discipline." He said, "I've had to prescribe over the years, and I've backed away from that because I watched the kids turn into zombies. And I'm the one that wrote the prescription for that." You see, this doctor had become a Christian, and his whole perspective had changed. He said, this child has an authority deficit disorder. He needs discipline in his life. And all the mother could say, "You mean you don't have a pill for him to take?" "No, ma'am, I will not write a prescription for you." The reporter and the lady went back. The reporter was extremely upset, angry. "We're going to write about this. We're going to make sure that this doctor is exposed for what he's just said." The mother turned to the reporter and said, "Don't do that. Don't do that." Because you see, as they were walking back to the car, she remembered her mother's words. Her mother's words when she was being disciplined at home about, "The reason that I'm doing this is because I love you and I want to see you turn out to be the right kind of young lady." She went home and she told her friends, she was a single mom, what the doctor said. They were all angry, all upset. But she said, I don't want you to say anything about this. Give me 3 weeks. Leave me. Give me 3 weeks with my son." She said she began to write down everything that her mother had done, discipline-wise, consequences, things of that nature, everything she could remember about growing up. And she said, "I started to put them into practice with my son." Within 3 weeks of discipline and instruction, and not letting him get away with the things that he was getting away with, the boy was transformed. She invited the reporter back. Said, "I want you to see my son now." She went back to the doctor with the reporter, shook his hand and said, "Doctor, thank you so much. You woke me up to something that I already knew, but had just put out of my mind because," and this was in her words now, "I adopted the cultural way to do things instead of the right way that my mother did." That 8-year-old boy was transformed. He didn't need drugs. What he needed was discipline. What he needed was an adult in his life that was willing to do the hard things. The hard things. Here was this mother in Israel. She's in the city as, now remember, what's happened to Elijah? He's been dwelling by a creek, Cherith. He's had his meals provided in the morning and the evening by ravens bringing his food in. He had delivery, all right? And he has all that need, and then God just dries up the brook. And Elijah said, "Lord, the brook's dried up." And God basically said, "I know, get thee up and go to Zarephath." Now, you talk about being out of the way. Zarephath is not even in Israel. Zarephath was in ancient Phoenicia. "All right, Lord, I'll go." So he went all the way up to Sidon, Zarephath, way up at the upper coast area in Gentile country. You know what? I don't know why it is. There's so many preachers think that this widow and the son were Israelites. They weren't. They were not people of the covenant. They were Gentiles. God's got a lesson for Elijah. By the way, this is the same neighborhood that Jezebel grew up in. Same neighborhood. She was from Sidon and Zarephath, that same region. So God's got a work He's doing in His prophet. And he said, "I've got a widow up there." And I'm sure he was thinking in his mind, this is an elderly lady. I'm going to be going, and she's going to help take care of me. So he went all the way up there, and then he gets a surprise. What does he find out? This is not an elderly lady. This is a young lady. This mother could carry her child in her arms. All right? So let's get the picture here. She's a Gentile. This boy is a Gentile. God has sent me here for a reason. They meet in the street. She's picking up sticks. All right? Picking up sticks. Picking up that which has dropped off of the donkeys. As they rode through the streets, they had gathered up the sticks in the forest, and sometimes as the donkey was making its way down, the sticks would break loose and fall to the ground. And here was this mother going along picking up the sticks. Kind of reminds you of Ruth picking up the handfuls of purpose. She's picking up the sticks. She only finds how many? Two. What does Elijah do? Elijah walks up to her and said, I need a drink of water. So she's going to go get him a drink of water. And by the way, I need you to fix me a cake. All right? A bread roll made out of meal. And she turns back to him and says, sir, you see my two sticks here? I only have enough food to make one cake, to scrape out the meal in the bottom of the barrel and pour out the little bit of oil that I have in the cruise, to mix it together, bake a cake for my son and I, because that's all we have left and we will die. They were starving to death. That's how bad things were up in Phoenicia. They were starving to death. I've often wondered, maybe you have too, about her husband. I've often wondered if he starved to death first. And yet God Almighty sees all things. A Gentile family way up in Zarephath. He's got his servant down here who's being fed meals a day with the ravens and enjoying the water. Things are going great for him. So he breaks up this little good thing going on and he brings his prophet. He said, Elijah, you need to learn how to exercise some faith here too. You make this long journey up here and puts him in the middle of this whole situation of hard things. And they watch God work. I want you to look with me. I kind of listed out here all the hard things. By the way, this whole scenario is mentioned in the New Testament too, in Luke chapter 4. Let me read this before I forget. And he said unto them, this is the Lord Jesus, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in this country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Now that could hark back to Elijah. Remember, he had already confronted Ahab once and told him there's going to be 3.5 years of drought. He had already confronted the leader and was already getting major pushback. No prophet is accepted in his own country, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Was she an Israelite? No, she was a Gentile. Let me tell you something, grace is pictured in all of the Bible. Not just in the New Testament, it's pictured in all of the Bible. Here was a Jewish prophet ministering to a Gentile widow and her son. And he wasn't sent to the mothers and widows of Israel. God sent him up to the Gentiles. Why? Why? Grace. That's the only reason. Well, God just saw this particular situation as just dire, and he decided that he was going to help this woman out. No, that's not the point. The point is this: grace in the midst of hard things. Grace in the midst of hard things. To someone you would not expect grace to go. All right? Now let's go on. I want you to listen to this list here. The hard things faced by this mother. Number one, she was a widow. Her husband had died. Now she is the breadwinner for her family and things aren't going so well because of the terrible drought that's in the land. Her husband may very well have starved to death in this terrible drought. She was from Zarephath, a city of Sidon, the place from which Jezebel was from. This was a pagan pagan region. Number three, she was the mistress of the household. Evidently, she served there in a household. She worked for somebody else. And maybe they gave her a place to stay and there was extra rooms there. She was the mistress of the house. She was the one that was the superintendent, so to speak, that took care of things there. The Lord knew her situation and the condition of her heart. He had been preparing her to be an instrument in His hand. She was starving to death. But not only that, now get this, folks. You gotta get yourself into the account that's given here. She's not only starving to death, but she's watching her only child starve to death too. I can't think of anything more horrible for a mother to have to endure than to see her child starve to death. That's how dire things were. I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to elaborate the story here. This was the real condition of this mother who was going through hard things. Then the prophet shows up. And what does he do? He just makes her life even more miserable. He comes up and has the gall to ask for a cup of water. Doesn't he know we have a drought going on here? And then when she starts to walk off to go get that, he says, oh, and by the way, make me a cake to eat. When she explains the situation, what does Elijah do? He said, I want you to get the water, and I still want you to make me the cake. And then the Bible puts in this next word, first. Make me a cake first. What else do I have to go through? I can almost hear her heart. She knows what this means. She's lived in this house. She's watched the meal go down and down as she's carefully, over and over again, made the cake smaller and smaller to make the meal last longer and longer, and then just tried to make that cruse of oil last as long as it could because she had no money to go out and buy more, and there was nothing to get from the market. That's how bad things were. And this prophet comes along and just piles on. But then Elijah doesn't stop the conversation there after he says, first, for the Lord is going to take care of thee. The meal shall not waste, nor the cruse empty. God's going to take care of you. Well, that sounds like empty words. Sounds like empty words. People promising things. Oh, we'll take care of you. How many times I'm sure she had heard that. Maybe she had gone out begging. Where was she at whenever he came? She was out in the middle of the street in the town. She was out there for a reason. Not just to pick up sticks, but I'm sure to beg for whatever she could get to bring home to her starving child. Now let's go on because there's some lessons here that I want you to see. The Lord knew her and was keenly aware of her needs. Nothing surprises God. No matter what you're going through, no matter what hard thing, mother, you face, God knows your need. It is obvious in this story that God is very aware of this widow and her needs. Elijah had to travel out of his way to get to this woman. Zarephath was in the opposite direction from where he was. Yet she and her son were important enough to God that He commanded Elijah to go to her. One can only imagine what her prayers must have been. Perhaps she had been praying for a miracle of deliverance. She had faith to walk into the unknown. She accepted a man that she had never met before in her life into her circle at a very dire time. I read not too long ago the story of a teacher who had gone to one of their parents, had invited her to come over, said, if you can come over. And the mother, this was many, many years ago, this was back in the late 1800s, and she invited, the mother invited the teacher to come over to the house. And this particular child was having difficulty in school, and so the lady began to serve, and she put just a little bit of soup into the bowl. A little bit of soup in the child's bowl, a little bit of soup in her bowl. That was all she had. And she She said, I have to apologize to you, so we're going through some difficult times right now. And the teacher began to realize and understand why the child was having so much difficulty because of the dire circumstances that the child had. So the teacher began to take this particular child under her wing to minister to her and be able to help her to get through. In that particular home, the father had been killed. And so this mother was having to share that. But here again, the embarrassment of this poor mother who invited the teacher over but only had just a little bit of food to give. I'm sure this mother here in 1 Kings chapter 17 felt the same way. She was probably embarrassed. That's why she said what she said. I only have enough meal to make one cake, and my son and I were going to eat that and die because we have nothing else. She had faith to walk into the unknown. It is important to know that she did not know who Elijah was. And she did not know that there would be more meal and oil left over after she had fed him. Because the Bible indicates that God did not take the meal and raise it right up to the top again. What does the Bible say? Every time she went in there, she had to scrape the bottom of the barrel. Now, what was she learning? Faith. Every day, she'd go in there and she'd reach down in there. She'd scrape out that, make a cake, and then she'd go back and scrape out again. There would be more meal there. And then the cruse of oil just had enough to be able to make each cake. God was teaching her something to depend upon Him. God would make me go through those hard things. That's exactly what happened in this lady's life. You know, mothers go through many hard things. Mothers weigh things in their heart and ponder things in their heart that men folk just don't seem to do very often. Women are more tender in that regard. And this mother was carrying a boatload of trouble and hard things. And yet the hardest thing is just about to happen. Just when you think the story is just going to come out, everything's going to be wonderful, they're not going to starve to death. She gathers her son, who's very sick, into her arms, and she watches as the last gasps for her child go out of him. She rises from her chair and she makes her way over to the prophet, carrying her dead child. Can you think of anything more horrible, mother, than to have to go through the loss of a child? One that you've been with for several years. One that you've tended to and cared for and fixed for and done prayed over. She took it and she said, oh, Mr. Prophet, did you come to remind me of my sin? That my child would eventually die anyway? He had been spared from starvation. They had plenty to eat, but now was dead. Not dying, dead. And she brings this child with a broken heart. Don't you ever criticize this widow woman. Come on now. Don't criticize the widow woman. She should have had stronger faith. You know what? If I could, I'd take my pointy shoes and boot you right outside the building if you had that kind of an attitude. Let me tell you something. God ministers grace to your life every day of the week, and we don't deserve a bit of it. We don't deserve a bit of it. She brings this lifeless child to Elijah. And Elijah, I'm almost sure of this. I don't know. I'll find out when I get to heaven. That there were tears coming down his cheeks because of what he said before the Lord. Did you catch that? What did he say? When he went to the Lord in prayer, he carried this lifeless child up the steps, up to the top of the roof. And he says to his God, and he cried unto the Lord, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? He's broken over this too. And he stretched himself over the lifeless body three times, we're told, in prayer, begging God to bring this child back. And the Bible says here, that the soul of the child came into him again, verse 22, and he revived. Now, I can't say that God will always do that. But He did it in this case. He did it in this case. This mother, who was weeping downstairs over the loss of her child, was going through the hardest thing. She had lost her husband. She had lost, you know, almost her life in starvation. Now she's lost her only child. God would sometimes cause mothers to go through hard things like this. What is the answer? Yes. Yes. Why? So He can minister His grace. You see, closeness with God is linked to closeness with the grace that He bestows in His children's lives. You can't know God until you experience His grace. How do we experience grace as a sinner? By receiving His Son, Jesus Christ. Grace and truth, John tells us in chapter 1, came by Jesus Christ. That grace that came to me as a sinner was in the person of Jesus Christ. But every minute of every day, through every difficulty, through every trial that all of us face, you and I need God's grace. And here was Elijah, the son, as they came down from the... brought this house. See? Well, listen to this. See? Thy son liveth! I can imagine he was beaming ear to ear. What had just happened? Oh yes, he was given his life. But grace was ministered to both this child and to Elijah, but also to this mother who received her child, and she is overwhelmed. And she doesn't just say, well, thank you, Mr. Prophet. What does she say? Oh, this is the message of the moment right now. Now by this, what is this referring to? It's referring. Now, it's not talking about the nearly starving to death. Not talking about how God provided the meal and the oil. Now we've moved to something else. Now by this, the receiving of my only son back to life again. This gracious act done in behalf of my son and myself. Now by this, I know that thou art a man of God and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. It's truth. This woman became a believer. That act of grace drew her soul unto God. L-O-R-D, capitalized in your Bibles. The Word of the Lord. Listen, moms. God may call you to go through hard things. You may say, you know, the Lord has already called me through some hard things. Mothers, you're often called upon to go through hard things. God often calls us, now listen to me, God often calls us to that hard place where there is no one else to help us but Him. He calls us to the hard place because there's no one else to help us but Him. That's where this mother was in this account. And moms, that's where we all are. We're all at that place. Difficult things. During the hard things, there must be that blending of the physical hardships with the eternal joys yet ahead. Don't run from the hard things. Don't try to find the easy way out. Be faithful. Be faithful. When we endure the greatest of hard things, such as the loss of a child, God can work in a powerful way to strengthen us and provide His grace in time of need. This mother received her child back and in the process became a believer. It is interesting to me that God included this mother in a group in Hebrews chapter 11. Now listen as I read. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 35. Who through faith, women, received their dead raised to life again. What do we know about this mother? She had faith. She had faith. She exercised faith. She brought her son and she gave him to Elijah. And Elijah took him. And Elijah met with God and God undertook for her and for the child. What a blessing. What an encouragement. You remember the words of Christiana that she said to Much Afraid and her father, Mr. Despondency, "You ought with thankfulness forever to remember your deliverance from the hands of giant despair." You want to know? All I can think about is I read that story in 1 Kings chapter 17. She was facing giant despair. And she came out on the other side. Why? "You ought to, with thankfulness forever, to remember your deliverance from the hands of giant despair. The effect of that mercy is that you are brought with safety hither. Be ye watchful and cast away fear. Be sober and hope to the end." Mothers, children, and grandmothers too. Children and grandchildren are looking to you. They're looking to you and what you do with great despair. How do you handle it? How do you deal with the hard things that God brings into your life? It makes all the difference in the world. That boy that was raised to life witnessed the faith of his mother and that of Elijah too, but of his mother. What a difference was made in that young man's life, that boy's life. I had a mother who trusted in the Lord. I pray that we can take this lesson to heart today. God ministered grace, and she responded well to that grace. So do we need to run and hide when the hard things come? No. We run straight from the arms of great despair, and we run straight into the arms of our great deliverer and enjoy His grace. And He will help you through whatever great trial, whatever great hardship you face in this world. There's nothing too big for God Almighty. Father in heaven, we thank You for the Word of God. What a blessing this account is. You recorded this Gentile lady and her son's recovery from a Jewish prophet calling upon God. Yes, Lord, You're concerned about Jew and Gentile alike. I pray that You'd work in our hearts today as we consider our mothers. Oh, we're so thankful for them. We also pray for them that You would strengthen them in the task that they have, and grandmothers as well. The job really is never done. There's always someone to pray for, a child, a grandchild, the children of this church, to be the right kind of mother and grandmother for all of the children that are in our church. Lord, help us to take up that responsibility. And I pray that You might help our ladies to call upon that grace that is so powerful and is so wonderful that allows us to be able to go through any trial that we might face and come out on the other side being delivered from the hands of great despair by the great deliverer who loves us and who cares for us. Father, I pray that You would bless us now as we honor our mothers. I pray that this might be a time of great rejoicing as we consider those that are a part of this church. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to have all of our mothers come forward, please, right up here in the front. I want to take just a moment to pray with them. All of our mothers will come. You know, the Lord gives gifts to churches. Did you know that? He gives gifts of people. And I'm so thankful that we've been given the gift of some godly mothers that are present with us. But you know what? They need grace from the hand of God, and they need our prayers. Amen? They need our prayer. Their influence. Now listen to me now. You know this, but I'm going to emphasize it. Their influence will stay with our children till they make their last gasp here upon this earth. Their influence, a mother's influence. Boys, girls, think about mom. The influence that these ladies have in lives is indispensable. And we need to pray for them that God would work in their hearts and lives, that they would carry forth their duties faithfully, but also that God would minister grace in their hearts and lives. Would you all stand together, please, as we pray for our mothers? Father in heaven, we thank you for this special day. Lord, we ought to be thankful for our mothers all the time, not just one day out of the year, but this is a special time. And we are thankful for these ladies. Many of them have gone through hard things. Some may be going through hard things right now. Some may have hard things staring them straight in the face in the future, and they don't know yet. I am so thankful this morning that you provide your grace, that overpowering favor, that gift that ministers to us when we desperately need it. Help us, Father, not to be proud and foolish and reject that grace, but help us, dear Lord, to accept it and receive it and to cry out for it and to want it more than anything else so that we can endure the hard things that we face in life. This poor mother recorded in 1 Kings 17, she had it very difficult. She lost her husband. She nearly lost her own life and her son's life starving to death, and then lost her son to death, but received him back in life. And Lord, we're so thankful for this story because it gives us hope. And we thank you for your grace because it gives us hope. And I pray that you would work in our hearts and lives today. Bless these moms. Bless these grandmothers. And I pray that your grace would be poured out upon them. For we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.